fermentation, it would literally go like that. And there came a point to where the wineskin could not flex anymore. And so if they put new wine into that bag, when it began to stretch, good luck. And that's why y'all are here, mm-hmm. is because I think you're wanting to exchange. I think you're wanting to see around the corner. But it is going to require an exchange. And there's a real easy process for this exchange. And it comes with desire. And intent. It's easy. You go with your God, whatever you perceive Him to be. And He's inside of you. And you can say, I'm ready. And I that day when I let Jesus go, I was ready. And I received that comfort and that peace. And I'll tell you what, there's visitations that come in the middle of the night. I've been visited 3 times, seen things, I mean, the bed shook and vibrated, and my body shook and vibrated, and energy is there. When Christ grows in your garden, can I speak to you metaphorically?
Yes.
It says that the smallest seed is the mustard seed. Mm-hmm. And you know that the mustard seed comes from the family that's called Cruciferae. Because it has a cross. If you cross-sect the seed, it comes from the family Cruciferae or Crucify. And so this planting is that spark of the divine that comes into our body and grows up inside and brings us to the place of death on the world cross. For those that know a little bit about the world cross, we come to the point where we say, oh my gosh, I get it. This ego, this mind, is a servant to spirit. And we'll go into that a little bit more tomorrow. But this planting that's within the consciousness or your framework, your energetic framework, it says grows to be the largest of the garden. And then it says, this is key, it grows to be so large that the birds of heaven come and nest in its branches.
I have never understood that.
Messengers. They are there. I mean, read the first 4 chapters of Matthew. They always had visitations, always. And we're getting to the point now where we're, you know, the scripture says that going on to perfection, Hebrews chapter 5, Paul rebuked them and said, you're not ready. You've been drinking milk. Meat is reserved for those that are full of age. By reason of exercise, having their senses ready to discern good from evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. So there are certain things that we need to leave behind. And going on to perfection, I'm going to tell you just from experience, it involves visitations from messengers that whisper in your ear. This is the way, walking in. But they're ready, and they stand waiting. And all it requires, you know, there's no secret formula for it. All it is desire and intent. And I'm here to tell you, too, that if you never take another step in your spiritual path, you are not wrong. You have incarnated to do exactly what you're doing, no matter what level you go to. There are those that have incarnated to be abortion clinic bombers. And I hope you don't think I'm comparing the two, but there's intelligence that has incarnated for all sorts of reasons. So what's best is that you follow your heart, because it will lead and guide you every step of the way.
You're doing the 2 scriptures or not?
Okay, thank you, dear Papa.
I didn't forget. Sorry.
Okay. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. It's Christ. Christ means anointed. Once.
Once is plural.
Now, if you take oil, which is a symbol of what?
Spirit.
Spirit. And you put it into a body. Like if I called you up here and I had an alabaster jar with beautiful oil, and I broke it and I rubbed it all over your back, and I had you sit down. And then an hour later I said, give me my oil back. Could I?
No.
Christ means anointed ones. To anoint, to rub, to press in. So that process is the process of flesh and spirit becoming
one.
And there is no other way to the Father, that creative principle that's inside of you, until your life of flesh unites with the Spirit.
Yes.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. That creative principle, I mean, there's this, and it's not outside of us. It's inside of us. This creative principle, the Father, is within. But this principle of being able to create worlds without end is not shared with an egoist being. It is shared with an ego that has been willingly submitted to Spirit. That's the pattern of masculine and feminine coming into union. That's what that is. No other way to the Father. It's not, I accept Jesus into my heart. That was a level of understanding that we had. It was good and functional and useful at its time. It's not walking an aisle. It's not even getting baptized. It means something completely different. There is no way to this creative principle, not heaven, not escaping hell. This is hell. Go into that later. There's no other way to the Father but through Christ, this Christed entity. Does that help?
Yes.
That scripture?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Christ in you is the hope.
That's right.
Glory.
Okay. Second scripture. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life.
I can't always say that anymore because.
Well, wait till you hear this.
He wasn't the only begotten.
The only begotten Son is a corporate man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. And it's you.
Yes.
That whosoever should believe, when Jesus said, if they say the Christ is out there, don't believe him.
See to it.
Paul said, I labor and travail until Christ is formed in you. In you, for God so loved the world that he gave this corporate Son, this Melchizedek priest, this divine energy, this spark of the divine, to lay down the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world.
Yes, you
are. Amen.
Because you always were,
yes,
and you always are. You are the I Am.
Why I would say slain?
Because
before.
This is important. Because before the world was formed, before matter was put upon spirit, you laid down your immortal status and picked up a flesh and blood body that could die.
Mm-hmm.
The lamb slain from the foundation of the world,
mm-hmm,
is you.
Mm-hmm.
You laid down your immortality to pick up humanity. Okay? Are you okay with this?
Oh, yes. I understand.
So, we, this is, so we are that virgin soil that said, at that level of consciousness, before the foundation of the world, when he made known to us the mystery of his will, out of the book of Ephesians, we, as the corporate Mary, said, when the angel came and said, you're going to be overshadowed by the Spirit of the Most High, and you are going to become pregnant with the Holy Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Mary say?
My soul magnifies the Lord.
And be it unto me as you have spoken. This is a corporate man. Mm-hmm. Happening in history, yes. Mm-hmm. But mystery, yes.
Yes.
To one woman, yes. Yes. To corporate humanity, yes.
First, the earthly, then the spiritual.
Right. So this, exactly, this requires, that's why we shifted our chairs before, you weren't in here when we shifted our chair, but it requires just a shift in the way that you see things. Virgin, because never before had there been a cooperation between flesh and spirit. Never before had spirit penetrated biology, except in this environment. This is a great, grand cooperative effort between spirit and man. And Mary is birthing a new creation that is both spirit and flesh. That's what Emmanuel means.
God be with us.
God be with
us. When Paul said, is that what it means? It says, in my flesh I will see God. Is that what it means?
Absolutely. Now, with Christ growing up inside of the garden, it has been a cooperative effort to bring this level of the divine through a process of growth in your flesh. And sometimes it's disharmonious.
But it can't be this body.
But it's growing. It's growing.
But it can't be this body.
It will be our charge, and I'm getting ahead of myself. And I like it, my last scripture. Our charge is to raise the body. Now remember, Jesus did. If you're not happy with your body, Jesus didn't look like himself. Mm-hmm. He came back, did he?
No, they didn't recognize him.
Right. And that's, tomorrow if you remind me, we'll teach on the bread and what it means when they recognized him, but only after they broke bread. Remember that Jesus said, this is my body. Okay. So,
we'll say that again, please.
Are y'all, can y'all hang for another?
We can stand all
should we
night.
Stand up for?
I have a question.
Whenever you're ready.
We'll shift.
You have a shift?
Look at things differently.
Good for you.
What does that mean?
Okay. When Jesus said, and this requires a shift in the way that you think. Jesus said that the wheat and the tares, and we know that there was a sower and all of that, that they would grow together until the time of the end when they would be separated and the fruit would remain and they would have to go on the threshing floor and be separated. And then it says, and this is the end of the age when the grain is brought into the barn. Right? Okay, I need to ask you, what do you do with grain? If this is the end of the age where the grain is brought into the barn, then what might happen in the age to come?
Threshing.
Now the threshing already takes place.
Okay.
And so the grain is in bags and it's in. So what do you do with grain?
Baked bread. Is that it?
Yes. Now listen.
Oh, okay.
He said, I'm the bread that came down from
heaven.
That's another dimensional level, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, this is what he said to you so that you would know who you are. He said, take this bread and break it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How many of you know he was not speaking one man. He was trying to get you to remember who you are. And now listen, the breaking of the bread, this in the Bible is symbolic of the grave or Sheol. Do you know that?
No.
The throat, their throats were like open sepulchres. This is symbolic of the grave, mortality, third dimensional level, earth. The bread is broken. It travels down death. It becomes mortal and it rests in earth. That's what that's all about. So when we do this thing of communion, the Lord's Supper, he's trying to get you to remember your own journey from immortality into death. And the only reason, the only way that you can do this, just like the symbol of baptism, if you look at this, water is representative of human consciousness. So whenever you see water, you know it's talking about human consciousness. So baptism, here we are as divinity, but we willingly forsake our divinity, the land slain from the foundation, and we become totally immersed in human consciousness. But we don't stay there because a pattern has been sent to us to remind us who we are. So we've done the rituals over and over and over. I don't know about you, but I was baptized about 8 times.
But it
we
does
do the
say,
ritual over and over and over again.
But it does say that baptism is death, burial, and resurrection.
Absolutely. And when I said this is hell, this is hell, folks. Now, there's a level of hell after we die as well, but it's not what we think it is. But it's a cycle that we are going through in order to resurrect the body and come to the place of awakening. And it's purposeful, and we know it. It's encoded in our DNA. We just need to calm the storms of our consciousness. And when Jesus got out and said, "Peace be still," he's speaking to your racing mind, to your egoic nature. And then what does he say? What does he do? He comes walking on the water in another place and says, "Peter, walk above human consciousness."
Oh.
History? Yes. Mystery? Yes. Come up here. See from a different perspective. This is a great, grand story that we're involved in and that we agreed to participate in from before the foundation of the world. And the Spirit is beckoning us now. That seed that was planted in the garden is growing up. We're becoming more aware of our nature and who we are. And our task, which we will discuss in detail, is to resurrect the body. So on the way to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until they
broke the bread.
Symbolisms and metaphor, scripture. I mean, when I came out of, when he said, "This isn't your home," when I came out of that environment, I could not read the scripture without being pulled into old mindsets. So I put it down. Years. I mean, I dabbled a little bit here and there. But until I could see the mystery instead of the history. And when I begin to see the mystery, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I opened up a Bible. Because it's not about the letter. It's not about history. Everything is written in here. We know it all.
Yes.
It's all in here. It's just coming to the surface of our consciousness. And we're beginning to come out and away from those old things.
Is that why Peter couldn't walk on the water himself? Because of his consciousness?
He doubted. That's right.
To that level?
Okay, third scripture. And I did look this up the other day. Every knee will bow.
And every tongue will confess.
And every tongue confess. But now we add that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's not in the scripture. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that the Christ is Lord of the body. He is taking our mortal frame and resurrecting it out of mortality into immortality, because this mortal must put on immortality and this corruptible must be made incorruptible. It is happening.
Yes.
We are growing to that point, and what it requires is a willingness to shift.
Yes.
It's a willingness to shift. The Bible, especially the New Testament, is filled with incredible metaphor. And it's all mystery for the having. Incredible stories.
It goes on to say, and when this mortal shall put on immortality, and when, and it's like you're looking for the answer. And then gives the answer, but religion has taught us to overlook it. He said, I thank God, which giveth present tense, the Lord. It's not from end time. Mm-hmm. It's right now in our consciousness.
And I'll tell you, one of the things it says is that the last trumpet, the chakras, are trumpets. They come out of your body like this. They look like this. And they all give a certain sound or a frequency. And they're the churches in the book of Revelation. They're the endocrine system. And human consciousness back in the day is centered down here in fight or flight and fear. Were we not? And then we went to survival. For me and mine and fighting and war. And then we come up to emotions. And then we come up to heart. And then we come up to expression and intuitive faculties and ascension. The last trumpet, the sound, is when the body mortal will be raised immortal. So, you know, we can talk about a lot of this, but energy, it's necessary to move the energy of your spinal column of your body. That's what the serpent on the pole is.
Well, Lane, I have a question to
you. No, when you no, when you
no, ready. You go right ahead. I'm ready.
No, it's okay. It's actually Barbara. It's not a question. It's the spirit has brought something to me on some things that you actually one big thing that you said, and then I was sitting here trying to see what you're saying before you came back a couple of times. You said that you let crisis go. The moment you said that, I had a spiritual connection with what you said.
I saw it.
You did?
I did.
Because actually, I've been sitting here a little bit afraid to. My fear of what my got in the way of actually talking right now. So basically, I could just tell you what it said to me. It said that you walked away from Jesus of the world and what the world has created and make him of what was brought to you. And basically, you have the spirit of Christ in you. So basically, when you said you left Jesus, you left him of what the world made him create. Because as you were talking, and then you said it again, you know, and then as you were talking, I could feel the relationship spiritually that you have with him.
Mm-hmm. You're my older brother.
So, mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because as somebody that, you know, may not, I may have heard that for the first time, may not know all that, you know what I mean? So you left him from the world. Mm-hmm. The world has made him.
That's good.
But you, so verbally, that may help.
That's good. Thank you.
And that you do have a wonderful, wonderful spirit of it.
Yes. Thank you. Well, the veil is lifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the brain is divided in two halves by something called a corpus callosum. And it's a network of, are there any doctors here?
Mm-hmm.
A network of nerves that works through this thick layer of tissue, and it separates the east from the west, separates the masculine from the feminine, separates the soul from the spirit. And there is, you know, when they said to Jesus, when will your kingdom come? When will these things happen? In Matthew 24. And you know, if you've watched the Discovery Channel and you've seen some of these things where they put these little electrodes on the brain, and if you have an intuitive question, the right hemisphere of the brain kind of lights up and has this incredible lightning display. And if you have a mathematical or a logical question asked, then this part of the brain lights up like crazy. Well, they said, when will your kingdom come? And Jesus said, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be in his kingdom. And they're talking about a principle of when we begin to function from our intuitive faculty, and it gives direction to our logical point. But right now what's happening is we're logic-based. And so it's just a shift that's happening. And there's documented evidence that the veil is beginning to thin. The corpus callosum, it's an evolutionary process. And there will be a time when the veil is most likely lifted and the brain will function in tandem as a man and wife. The two shall become one. Mm-hmm. And will be whole brain rather than dual. And there's so many really cool things that are happening. But all of these things, again, just a little shift. Shift happens. It's a good thing. Challenges some of our doctrine, some of our dogma. It's a good thing to let go. It served us well.
I want to be clear on exactly what you're saying. You let Christ go.
No. No.
You let the history of Christ go with all of its religion and its Christianity and all that. That you laid it all this down and then you see him differently.
Well, I see him in me.
How are you? In all this. That's right. But it's the history and all.
The history, the history was true.
Exactly. History always is.
So it's not that I'm saying it's false or no good. It served us.
So in other words, let's stop living in history and let's live in the now.
Yes. Embrace the mystery, because the mystery, you know, the history, you can compare that to the law. Mm-hmm. And the law never brought anyone to, what's the scripture say? Perfection. And so we can't be made perfect by the law, and that's the literal interpretation of scripture. We will not be made perfect by trying to do all these things. That's why Jesus came and ransomed us out as a pattern and a type and said, follow me.
In the new covenant with consciousness, we will.
Yeah.
Remember the scripture says, when we seem, we shall be like him, but we seem as he is another way of looking at it. We're not like him, so we cannot possibly see him the way he is.
Well, and you know, the scripture says be perfect. Yes. So we know it's possible. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is just a shift in the way that you think too, because we've been told we're sinners.
And the word history means his story. It has to be our story. And not just his story, right?
There's so much.
I have a feeling, I can't prove this, so that we have to see it before it's going to come to being.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Can I interrupt you?
No, go ahead.
I'm glad you said that. Unless you can remind me to, go ahead, finish, and remind me to tell the story of Nancy.
Okay, go ahead.
Because otherwise we're caught in the doubt and confusion, I have always been this kind of person that figure out the problems. And that's why I clashed when I was back in church. Now, here's a problem. I'll go fix the problem. We need this family needs to come to church. Well, I was over there picking them up on the bus. And I'll solve whatever the problem was there. I went to solve it. And so when I look at the church and the earthly church, that how they're functioning, and that some of them have a goal that, you know, we're going to win the world of Jesus. I was in that movement, you know, the last revival, the great revival. I was in that movement one time. And the other one is that thinking that things are getting worse and worse and worse until Jesus has raptured us out. So there's this conflict. How are you going to do anything when you can't even see the end result? So they're never going to accomplish a goal, because one of them saying it's going to get so bad we're getting out of it. And the other said, no, it's a great revival. So I see it. I don't know how we get there. That's the only problem. I see it. Well, because Paul says, you know, we need prophets and evangelists until.
Yeah, yes.
So when is until? Well, here is until, when our consciousness is mm-hmm. changed. So there's no time frame, but and I can't help it. I'm still seeing what's going on in the world and the church.
Well,
should have wanted everybody 1,000 years ago. Everybody should have been saved, as they're calling it. You know.
Remember to tell me stories. Nancy. Okay. We talked about this in
Dixon.
No, in DeGray. DeGray Lake Resort. You weren't there.
Okay.
This is another really cool thing. The tithe.
10% of your brain that we use.
10% is not an offering that you give to the church. The metaphorical understanding of tithe in when Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. In the New Testament, he says that he gave him something from his loins.
Uh-huh.
It says it. So if Abraham somehow made an offering of his sperm, we know that sperm is biology, is it not? And what do you make with sperm?
And eggs.
Human beings, biological containers. The tithe is biology that has been created in this age, and the energy that's coming in will ransom humanity out of its stuckness. Okay? Let me clarify. Walking the earth today, there are Melchizedek priests. They are immortals, and they are among us. And they have such a potent energy about them. It's like a beacon signal that, like a tuning fork, when you strike it, every metal that's able to resonate rises to the level of that tuning fork. That's what a Melchizedek priest does. A Melchizedek priest is one that has gone through 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th dimensional levels. They have graduated the Earth School and beyond. When Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, he's from the Melchizedek order. He is an immortal being. And it, from what I understand, there is an octave of 12 notes, 13 if you count the C to the repeating C, correct? Each one of those notes has a particular frequency and tone, correct? Now, in order for a Melchizedek priest to go on to the next octave, their training is, you've covered all 13 tones or frequencies, including third plus four, that's ours. In order to go on, you can either reinsert yourself back in time and space and serve as a pattern as Jesus did, or you can go on to the next octave of experiences. And there has been a tithe that was given to Abraham, from Abraham to Melchizedek, in order to occupy in this age, in order to ransom the ones that are stuck. There, you know, Jesus came as a pattern, as a Melchizedek pattern, and there are Melchizedek priesthoods that say, what is it said that he first descended in order that he can ascend, leading captivity captive in his train or consciousness or energy field. So they're around us all the time. The grocery store clerk could be one, and just by being in their presence, they're knocking negative energy off of you. I've seen it happen. It happens to me all the time. Negative energy is sloughing off of us because now is the time. When Jesus went to the demonized Gadarene and the demonized Gadarene said, have you come to torment us before the appointed time? And it wasn't the appointed time. So Jesus was merciful and sent them into the pigs because negative energy needs flesh and blood to animate, to perform what they were assigned to do divinely. So now is the appointed time, and we're sloughing off this negative energy left and right. I see it all the time.
Yes. So basically, the scenario that you just gave about, you know, the priests and everything, and then you talked about Jesus, and that, you know, we, you know, the world has given him, you know, put him on the cross and made him, you know, worship the Son of God. We all are the Son of God, aren't we? Okay, so basically, because I kind of heard you say this a little while ago, is that there is, or other priests that came. Were they the Son of, because we're all the Son of God.
Yeah, and we'll clarify as we go along. I kind of feel like we've reached our saturation point. It's a good place to stop if you want to, you know.
Nancy story.
Oh, the Nancy story. All right, we'll end with this. And this is a quick one. I have a friend who is my mentor. She is an amazing woman. She prophesied more over me and told me the things that I'm doing now, you know, 15 years ago. And the things that I'm participating in now, she prophesied over me. She's raised the dead. She is incredible. And her position is in the passing age. That's where she has agreed to be. She served as a bridge for a time between this age and the next. She would go over and grab seed from the age to come and come back and pour it all over us. But her purpose is clearly in this passing age. And she said to me about 5 months ago, she said to me, Barbara, you cannot sit there and tell me there is no hell. Because I've been there, and you cannot tell me there's no hell. You cannot tell me there's no Satan. I have stood in front of him. You can't tell me. And I looked at her and I said, Nancy, these things will appear externally as long as you need them to.
And she's your mentor.
And they're real. But when you begin to see things from a different perspective, from the inside out, then you realize that everything has served you in this school called Earth. Everything. Every pattern. So when you say we have to see the pattern, it's really just a perspective shift. And it's like, aha, I get it. What's external is now internal, and it always was, but it appears externally so that the ego can learn how to operate in time and space. It's and in duality. It's perfect. It's a perfect school.
We can fight devils all we want, and the more you fight them, the more they'll be to fight. But when your mind is changed, and whether you want to call him real or not, whatever terminology you want to use, whether he's spirit, whether he's this angel, if you look at him, then like he's hanging on to the pit, like in that scripture in Isaiah, and you look at him narrowly, then he becomes narrowly. And then eventually time, you'll look, he's not even a thought.
Well, so, and you'll understand that he's a servant of the Most High God. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is look in Scripture. That's what it says. Yet we want to make him this big enemy, but he's a servant.
That's right.
And he's serving us by providing the necessary backdrop of the good and evil. It's just like when you look at a tapestry or a painting, you see darkness. And if you don't see darkness, you don't have contrast. You can't see the light. Yeah. We're supposed to be fully exercised in the knowledge of good and evil. Supposed to be. And if we're not, we don't go on to perfection. That's what Paul said. Having had their senses exercised to discern good from evil. Meat is reserved for those that are of full age, who have had their senses exercised to discern good from evil. That tells me it's necessary. And so tomorrow we'll talk about those steps and what we do with that information, because we're going somewhere with it, and it's cool. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that Back to the Future when he comes back and says we need to go to the future, and where we're going, we don't need roads. Kind of like that. I mean, there's a plan, we're working the plan, and it's good. Is it good? Good place to start?
Good. Nice.